Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I'm so delighted to be in the studio. You know, I took a little nap. I was a bit tired. And as I was about to go to sleep for about 10 minutes, the Lord kept flooding something that I had memorized many, many years ago, back and back through my mind. And I wanted to share that with you at the opening of the broadcast. Then we'll go directly to your calls. And I memorized this originally in the NASB because that's a very pithy translation. And the words go like this: "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they'll add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." And then the familiar words: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." And then the writer of Proverbs quotes something that we're familiar with from Hebrews: "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold." I love this particular proverb in so many different ways. We're taught to do what we do with gentleness and with respect. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Well, so many of you calling in from everywhere. Talk to Shannon, listening in Decatur, Georgia. Hi, Shannon.
My question is about forgiveness. I had a friend, we've been friends for 30 plus years, and we had a disagreement last year about a money situation. Well, right after we had that disagreement, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Oh. So my thing was, I have to get everything straightened out, you know, any animosity. I can't harbor any unforgiveness or anything like that. But the thing that really hurt me was, during my diagnosis, she never visited me or checked on me, and she became very distant. And it was at the time that she had gotten this settlement for money. So my question is, I prayed, and we've talked, but it's not the way that it was at all. And it's just like she's a stranger to me now. And really, I don't really care if we connect again. So my question is, have I really forgiven? I feel like I've forgiven her, but I'm confused. I really want to feel, I prayed, I'm like, Lord, help me to know that I've really forgiven her.
Oh, Shannon, you are not confused. You're wonderful. I mean, this is precisely the heart that we have to have. It is a heart of forgiveness. And in forgiveness, you always have two aspects. You have someone like yourself who is obviously ready and willing to forgive, the operative word being willing. But forgiveness is only affected when there is someone that is wanting to be forgiven. Now, you have no control over that. You have control over the disposition of your heart. So if she is not willing to accept your forgiveness or through forgiveness to effect reconciliation, there's nothing you can do about that. The great thing that I hear as you outlined the question is that you have a desire to confess your sins, knowing that He's faithful and just, and He will forgive your sins, and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Just a great testimony to everyone listening in. You know, sometimes when you're hit in the face, you know, and hit somebody back. But what the Lord is teaching us to do is not to respond with unkindness, but rather to seek to emulate the Lord who has forgiven us an inestimable debt, and so we ought to be willing to forgive others also. Shannon, please know, I'll be praying for you, and I know since a lot of people are listening in from all over the world, they'll be praying for you as well. But thank you for your testimony, and that's really what it was, not just a question, but a testimony. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, John.
Hey, Hank. Asking this question, and full disclosure, as a Catholic who periodically listens to your show, I've heard you say before that in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and I think in all things charity, if I have that right. So I'm curious if you view the doctrine of the real presence as an essential. And I'm not asking that as trying to cause trouble. I'm just curious with the journey you've gone through, how you regard that doctrine.
Well, I would not list that as one of the essentials of the historic Christian faith, because certainly if you look at church history, the Catholics, the Protestants, and the Orthodox have different views. Now, the Catholic and the Orthodox view are very, very similar. So what you can say is for the first 1,500 years of church history, all pointed to a belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, which is to say that even before we were divided between East and West, there was a unity there. And even after the great schism that took place in the Western Church 500 years later, Luther still believed in the real presence of Christ. And I have mentioned this on the Bible Answer Man broadcast several times. I suppose most Christians are familiar with the great colloquy that took place in 1529 in the Marsburg Castle in Germany, essentially a debate between Luther and Zwingli. Zwingli accused Luther of bread worship. And he said, "How in the world can you possibly believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist?" And Luther responded by saying, "Look, if you can explain to me how Christ can be one person with two natures, I'll explain to you how Christ can really be present in the Eucharist." And by the way, if Luther could have disagreed with what he called the papists on any point, this would have been the point he wanted to disagree with them on. He made that clear. So here's kind of the point of all of that. There's a difference between East and West in how you describe it. Luther would say that Christ is present in, with, and under the elements. Roman Catholics would say there's a transubstantiation that takes place. The Orthodox Church has never tried to explain this. And Luther was actually in that tradition. He considered this, as I've said before on the broadcast, he considered this a great mystery. And so we leave this as Orthodox people in the realm of mystery. The Western Church, again, has explanations for it. And while Luther may have won the battle of words with Zwingli, debatable, but I think he most certainly did, Zwingli probably won the war, because from that time on, there has been a fissuring in terms of significance of the Lord's table or communion or mass or the Eucharist, whatever moniker you'd like to use. There's been a fissuring such that I was speaking in one church, and before I spoke, the pastor was introducing me. He said, "By the way, if anybody wants communion, just go to the back. There's a jug there, and you can have some Kool-Aid and crackers on your way out." You have other people, like Joseph Prince, who's saying, "You know, take communion at home as many times as you want to take communion. You know, it's really actually for your healing, and so just keep taking communion at home in isolation. The Orthodox Church, the Catholic Church, Healthy Well Balanced Churches know nothing about rugged individualism. You take communion in community. And so the ideas that have been prevalent in many, many circles in the modern church have made me very wary of finding a safe spot, particularly for my kids. I mean, I wanted a place where I could worship God in spirit and in truth. There happened to be a local community that had been impacted by our ministry with some of the most wonderful people I've ever encountered. My children fell in love when we were just going there for a little while with some special needs children that are considered angels in their midst, and they started befriending them and helping them. There's an incredible prison ministry there that one of my kids was very much taken by. Well, anyway, I don't want to say a whole lot more about this except for coming to station break. Please don't touch that dial.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
That's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Brian. He's listening in Cooksville, Texas. Hi, Brian.
Thanks for taking my call, and I do very much appreciate the ministry and support it as well. But, Hank, my question has to do with the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And, I know there's a reference in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4 to the sun. And I was just wondering, is there a well-developed sense in the Hebrew mind of God having a son? And is that found in the Old Testament?
Well, sure. I mean, I think immediately of the famed passage that is read so often during the Christmas season, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called," and then it goes on. I think we're all familiar with that. But the point here is a child is born. This is speaking of Christ's human nature. A son is given, unites the two natures as one person with two natures, and those two natures are never divided. The Son of God is also, of course, the son of a virgin, the Virgin Mary. So, you know, what you have in the creeds, and I love the Nicene Creed that says this about Jesus Christ, that we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not created, of one essence with the Father, through whom all things were made, and then who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became man. Now, what's important, however, to say in light of your question is that the ideas that we have in the Old Testament are shrouded, in a sense. They're shrouded as furniture would be in a dark room. They're there. You can see them if you look for them. Sometimes you stumble over them. But the light of Christ shone most brightly when Christ came. So in the Old Testament, there were types and shadows pointing forward to a sacrificial lamb that would come to take away the sins of the world. Well, that was prefigured in temple priest and sacrifice. And so it wasn't as developed as it certainly is in the didactic epistles in the New Testament. So do we know about it? Of course we do. The prophecies point that only Jesus Christ can walk through that doorway of the prophetic utterances made in the Old Testament. So absolutely, it is something that is regarded in the Old Testament, but then clearly explicated in the New. And I think this is maybe a way of augmenting the truth that it is not the absence of truth that damns. Ultimately, it is the despising of truth that damns. Let's go to Lance. He's listening in Germantown, Maryland. Hi, Lance.
Hello, Hank.
Hi.
I appreciate your show and all the wealth of knowledge you depart upon us. Thank you. My question to you is, do you believe that the Godhead, the Trinity, was fractured at the moment when Christ was on the cross and God turns away from him when the sin of man is laid upon him and he cries out, "Why have you forsaken me?" Do you think at that point there was actually a broken Trinity?
Well, not at all. In fact, you know, Jesus Christ on the cross is crying out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And he's actually, in context, he's pointing back to an Old Testament psalm. And that psalm makes very, very clear that Jesus Christ was not forsaken by the Father. Because if you read the entirety of the chapter, and this is Psalm 22, in verse 24 you read, "But he has not forsaken his beloved one." And so the idea that somehow or other there is a fracturing within the Godhead is anathema to the Christian faith. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always been in loving relationship, one with the others.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your insight on that. Thank you.
You are most welcome. David next, St. Peter's, Missouri. Hi.
I'm not going to ask you how you're doing. You're probably tired of hearing that.
You know what? I always appreciate the kindness that people show me when they call. So wonderful to talk to you.
Hey, I got your book, The Apocalypse Code.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting. I really enjoy it. I'm about halfway through, but I have been going to a church that believes in this Tim LaHaye dispensational premillennialism. And I'm just asking for some advice from you. Is it wrong to support that church or stay there since they push that narrative?
Well, I think this is a matter of conscience, and I champion mere Christianity. So essentials, unity, non-essential liberty, and all things charity. You know, so I have many dispensational friends. Some of them are Christian leaders. I deeply disagree with them with respect to the idea that God has two distinct people with two distinct plans necessitating two distinct phases of the second coming. But look, I can debate this vigorously with them, respect them, and continue on standing shoulder to shoulder with them in the battle for life and truth. So, is this an important issue? Obviously it is to me. I wouldn't have written a whole book about it if it wasn't. I think it is critical. It has implications for how people think or interpret the book of Revelation. Important, I think, yes, particularly when it comes to hermeneutics. But is this something that we should divide over? Absolutely not.
Okay, I appreciate your assistance.
Hey, you got it, David. Thank you so much for reading my book. You know, this is one of those books. When I first wrote this book, had a great surge, and then the pushback was so ferocious. I have never experienced anything like it. I don't think ever, even with the Word of Faith movement. And then the pushback was such that it really hurt the sales of the book. But then as the years went by, more and more people got attracted to it. And so it's taken on a life of its own, and I'm deeply grateful to the Lord for that because I stand behind every word that I wrote in that book. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Grant. He's listening in Iowa. Hi, Grant.
Hi, Hank. How are you? I listen to your broadcast all the time, and I think it's brought me closer to the Lord.
Well, bless you.
I do have a question. You know, is it our job as a Christian to make people aware of their sins? You know, like, well, an adulterer, you got a good friend messing around, tell him right out, hey, buddy, don't do that. Or, you know, you know somebody that is having a homosexual relationship, and you say, hey, brother, I love you, but in the Bible, it says you got a good chance of going to hell.
Well, I think what's important is to love your brother, love your sister, even love your enemy. And in that way, we act in a loving manner towards other people. And oftentimes that love does involve reproach. And you do that not because you're being judgmental, but because you want to be helpful to that person. Now, you said brother. If we take that in a narrow, strict sense of someone who really is a brother in the Lord, you want to say to them exactly what you indicated. The Scripture makes very, very plain what the parameters are that we are to live within. So if he was involved in an adulterous relationship, you would have the warrant to say to him, you know, I love you, you're a friend, and I think our friendship has allowed me to talk to you about this matter, because this matter is not only hurting you, but maybe the person's wife or family or whatever the case might be. So I think you earned the right. I was just at a doctor appointment. The doctor asked me intimate personal questions that if someone on the street were to ask me, I would never answer. I would think that's absurd that that person would be asking me that question. But the doctor has my confidence. He is my doctor, and therefore he's allowed to ask me those questions. It is natural. And so I think from brother to brother, sister to sister, this is something that we ought to be doing, It's part of how the body of Christ functions as a unit. And I suppose the best example of all of this is given to us by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12. The other thing I would point out is that you can reprove those who are spreading or doing things publicly. You can reprove them publicly. I mean, Paul reproves Peter publicly, for Pete's sakes. Do remember, we do what we do at the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, because life and truth really do matter. And they're making a difference for people, not only for time, but also for eternity. So my deepest, sincerest gratitude for those who support this ministry. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.